slaves. We are no longer slaves to fear. We are a child of God. And today, while we were preparing for the next series, we felt God is going to give us a freedom, a release from all slavery, a release from all, you know, our shackles. And He is going to give us freedom, a new hope, a new beginning, new way of looking at things, right? So that is why today's sermon series is on freedom in Christ, right? And so let's just pray before we actually begin. Yeah, Father God, we want to thank you for this time. And Lord, we know, Lord God, that you have called us, Lord, to be free, to experience the freedom, to experience what it is to know or taste freedom, O Lord. Lord, we pray, O Lord, even as you speak to us, O Lord God, help us to understand what was your heart when you wanted your people to go free. Your heart when your people were released from the bondage of slavery, O Lord. Lord, we want to know your heart. We want to know your view, O Lord God, on freedom in our lives, O Lord, and how we ought to live by it, O Lord. We thank you and we surrender this time into your hands, O Lord. Lord, please speak to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yeah. So before I actually delve into it, I was reading about some freedom fighters and, you know, how America got free and all that, and how India got free. Now, before the British came to India, how were the people living? Kingdoms were there. Anything else? Before the Britishers came, slavery was there? No, I don't think slavery was there, no? What was happening before the Britishers came? What do you think, in your imagination, I know it is hundreds of years ago, but what do you think how it would have felt? They were on their own, very good. Kings were ruling, so they were like having a nice kingdom, and the king was telling, giving them rules, regulations. So do you think they were slaves or they knew anything about slavery? Yes, no, confusion. Right, so this is what it is. Like when we have not tasted that kind of freedom which they had, we will not know the freedom what it would have been like. Right, so that is what God intends us to show us, like many times, that you are free. You are free, but in our minds, we are not able to comprehend the freedom that they might have faced or looked like. For example, so very biblically, okay? So that is one thing. Now, when I say freedom to you in today's 21st century, what do you think is freedom? Shoot out your answers. Being independent. Being independent, oh, okay. So freedom is different from independent or it's the same thing? Different. Very good. Anything else? So I want all of the congregation. So we are educated, correct? And we have logical thinking capacity. So we need to logically analyze what is freedom. Why am I listening to this sermon? Is it like any other sermon that I have been listening to? Okay, because we want to experience this freedom of Christ. And it will not happen until unless I try and think about it and analyze it and, absorb it like a sponge. Right? So, otherwise it will be yet another sermon which I'll listen and go and say, wow, nice freedom that I got. Right? So, very correctly, she said freedom is when she says it is independence. Okay. Anything else? What is freedom to you today? Free speech, freedom to educate, freedom. Very good.
Free to execute our will without.
Free to execute your will without harming others. Okay, very good. So you know your boundaries. Good. Good. Anyone else? Last. Freedom. The right to represent yourself to God. Excellent. So you don't have to. So as a Christian, initially in those days, you had to go sacrifice those lambs and everything. And so now you're free. Now you're free to actually go without any hindrance and say, God, here I come in the name of Jesus Christ. In the blood of Jesus who has redeemed me, I come to you in freedom. So I'm no more wearing the shackles. So, right. So here I am talking about the freedom in Christ that is in three parts. Okay. First, I don't know what it is to be free like Adam and Eve. What it was like. Because when I asked you what it was like before the predictions actually came, you didn't know because you have not experienced it. But you know what is slavery because that has been ingrained in us. Slavery is, they had this, they had that, they used to make us do a lot of hard work and they used to, abuse, right? So you know what is slavery. And then we got freedom and now we know something after freedom. That is, now we are free. But at the same time, we do not know the actual freedom that was originally there. Similarly, what is biblical freedom? Biblical freedom is when we are released from the chains of the world and released to be all that God created us to be. Right? So when Adam and Eve were there, they enjoyed the freedom. They moved around in the Garden of Eden. They moved around. They were, given the freedom to name the animals, given the freedom to feed the animals, whatever they felt was good for them. They were given the freedom, right, to express their emotions to each other. They were given the freedom. There was no, afterthought, oh, okay, if I do this, this will happen. If I do. But there was so much of freedom. There was a release. Okay. Then what happens? Because of a certain decision, okay, they become slaves to sin. Or they become slaves to slave to sin or wrongdoing, right? So that is, yes, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. So stand firm then and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. But they were burdened with a yoke of slavery. Okay, now Eve was very curious to know what is it if I eat the apple, right? What is it if I eat the apple? And how will it affect me? Or why did God say that? So curious to know, right? So many times when we are in a zone of where we have all the rights, all the liberty, I would say liberty, we have a curiosity to know what will happen if I do this or what will happen if I go there. For example, I am born in a nation which has a lot of liberty to speak, liberty to education, liberty to, move about in my own. But if I were in some other country or a nation, it would be like, confined. There will be a restriction to many things. You cannot eat this, you cannot do that, you cannot do this, right? But we are very curious to know many times what will happen there. And what we do generally as human beings, or the nature of human beings, is that we want to do that, we get curious about it and we go there, right? And we maybe intentionally, unintentionally land up in a place again of slavery. And that is what happened with Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve were very curious, especially Eve was very curious to know. And then eventually she landed up in a place where she was enslaved, where God had to sacrifice an animal to make clothes for them, where she couldn't express. They were thrown out of the Garden of Eden because she couldn't do what she wanted, or they couldn't do what they wanted, right? So there are times when we become very curious to know what will happen if I have an extramarital affair. What will happen? Nobody will come to know. What will happen if I just cheat a little bit? It's very curiosity. Okay, he is doing it. There is no consequence to it. So can I just do it? So there is a curiosity. And then that, what if I just take one drink? It's just a social drink in circles, right? It's just a party. Nobody will come to know. And I am sober enough, right? So it's just the curiosity many times that enslaves us. Okay, many times it is just that little bit of curiosity which says, what if I hang around with this person although I know this person is, I have heard a lot of things, but I am not like that. So I am just hanging around with this person. Okay, what if I just taste one, you know, a cigarette or something, like, you know. So many times we just get curious about what will happen in spite of knowing the truth. The truth that, okay, God has put boundaries. There is freedom in that boundary. But because of that curiosity, we step over that boundary and we lose that freedom. Right? So the freedom is, so the boundary does not enslave us. The boundary only protects us. But when we step out of that boundary and say, I want to experience more freedom, I want to know more about it, and I want to just curious, okay? And curiosity is not wrong. Because of curiosity, you have a lot of inventions, right? But the right kind of curiosity brings about the right kind of, you know, inventions. But if it is a wrong kind of curiosity, then it is enslaved. You becoming a slave to that thing. That's why it says it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then and do not let yourself be burdened again, it says. What does it say? Do not let yourself be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Means now we know this is freedom, but because of my curiosity to know what is it and how does it feel, you know, and then I step on to out of that boundary. Similarly, curiosity is one thing. Is there anything else that can, you know, hinder my freedom? Anything else? What do you think? What else? Curiosity is one thing. Anything else? Anger? Like? If somebody is provoking and then you become slave to that anger. Correct. You become a slave to that anger. Very good. Anything else that, you know, we compromise with our freedom with? Or it is a hindrance to our freedom. Or we want to just try it out. Peer pressure. Very good. Peer pressure can hinder me. I am free. But when I look at the other person, wow, they are doing so well. I am also pressurized. Positive peer pressure, negative peer pressure. Okay. Generally in school we teach that. Right. Now there are few things that like I jotted down. And it says that, you know, many times, overconfidence or over-reliant on ourselves rather than the Holy Spirit, you know, it does not allow me to experience that freedom. For example, any examples that you remember who was overconfident about himself and said that, yes, I have the liberty to do this. I am very powerful. Loudly, yes, Samson. Okay. One person I remember is Samson, not the person in our church. Okay, so Samson was one person who said that, you know, God gave him all the freedom, all the blessings, and said, go fight the Philistines. But what did he do with his freedom? He started developing, arrogance. He started developing overconfidence. He started developing confidence in his flesh rather than in God. So I may use my freedom, but at the same time, I can become overconfident of that, saying that it is me. I have the power. It is in my hair. It is in my ability. It is in my skills that I have. This job that I have got is because of me. Like, I become overconfident. And then I become slave to fear. Or then I become a slave to many other things that can come along with that overconfidence, right? So, confidence in our flesh. It says, as he approached Lehi, the Philistines came toward him, shouting. The Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon him. The ropes on his arms became like a charred flax, and the bindings dropped from his hands. Finding a fresh jawbone of a donkey, he grabbed it and struck down 1,000 men. Then Samson said, with the donkey's jawbone, I have made donkeys of them. Did he say God or the Lord? No, he said I. with a donkey's jawbone, I have killed 1,000 men. What did he say? I. Okay. So in this, he had a lot of confidence in his flesh. And then eventually we know the story that because of this arrogance, of this overconfidence that he had, eventually he became a slave to the Philistines. Okay. So when we try and put this freedom, and we lose the context and say, God, I start boasting about myself, I lose the whole freedom. Then, many times, we have patterns of slavery. Okay. So, just like, when the Britishers went away, what happened to India? When the Britishers went away, what happened to India? They became free. But there were certain patterns that still were lingering about. There were patterns of slavery. So then the kings or the queens started making them slaves. So even today, if we see, we have a certain pattern. Although we are educated, although we have logical thinking, but still if you see, we have certain patterns of slavery. Certain patterns where we enslave ourselves. Okay, that is because we are so used to doing it. For example, those who have tasted freedom will never do the things for what the people do who have not tasted freedom. Right? So, for example, when Adam and Eve were in the garden, just a simple example, they used to move about. They never used to toil or do anything on the ground. But when they became slaves to the sin, they had to toil, they had to do things. So those who have tasted freedom will not do the things which the slaves do. But what happened to the children of Adam and Eve? They started doing what their parents are doing. That is, they also did the same old things. They also became... So many times what happens is we do not taste freedom and we become slaves to whatever pattern of thinking or doing things, and then our children also learn that, children's children also learn that, and then it becomes a habit, and then we say, oh, why are we not free, or why are we not behaving in that way? For example, I'll give you, in Egypt, when the Israelites came out of the slavery, what did they say? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians. It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians and to die in the desert. Because these people never tasted freedom. They only were experienced with, okay, and slavery. But at least khana to mil raha hai na? At least sone ke liye mil raha hai. That much they were enough. But God had a plan for them. God said, you go ahead. You will own a land. You do whatever you want, but they did not want that. They said, no, we are very happy the way we are getting it, right? We are dependent on them. We are getting it. But they did not realize how much it is because they've never experienced it. Sometimes it is a pattern that we develop of sin, right? So there is a story which says about the elephants, right? We all know about these elephants, no? So when the elephant is small, they are chained and kept. You know why? This is a very common story. You know why the baby elephants are chained and kept? They don't run away. And then, because baby elephants are very naive. They know that, okay, if I run away, they can just run away. So they're chained and kept. But what happens over the period of time, as they grow, they're not chained. They're only tied with a rope. Okay, a thin rope. Because the baby elephant now is conditioned that, okay, this thing I will never be able to remove. Because it's been conditioned, no, that initially it started to run away, but it did not happen. But now, even if it is a thin rope, they will not be able to run away. Because it is in the mind now. I am enslaved. If I come out of this situation, then I will never survive. If I come out of this workplace, where there is so much of cheating or crime, or there is certain, there's allurement, luring things that is happening around me. I don't want to come out of it because if I come out of it, maybe there's something that will happen to me. or maybe I will suffer. But we do not realize it has become a pattern. For example, there are some patterns of poverty. Okay, many times we say, we have come out of struggle. We have struggled. But then what happens is, it becomes a pattern. After earning a lot also, we become those people only. Like we become stingy. We become, like we are not able to experience faith. And we are not able to, live in generosity. Because we say we have struggled and come. So we are very stingy, we hold back. But actually God wants us to be generous. Experience the freedom of generosity. Experience the freedom of receiving and giving. Right? So we become like that. So it becomes a pattern. Then, certain patterns of deception. Deception like, if I show them who I am, or if I become the true person who I am, people will not accept me. People will think that, so that has become a pattern. Because initially, maybe you have spoken out your mind or said something and people have not accepted you. So now you feel, okay, it's okay to put up a mask, right? So that is, again, patterns which enslaves us, right? So then there is a cultural belief system. I can't break the rituals. Okay, I have become enslaved to those rituals. I have to do this. I have to do that. There is nothing wrong in rituals. In fact, sometimes rituals are good. It keeps us in line. But when it becomes a slavery, then you have to keep a double check on that. So, when the certain circumstances occur, the same things occur again and again. For example, there is a fight. For example, the child is not eating food. The husband is blaming the wife and the wife is blaming the husband. The child not eating the food because you have not cooked well. So there is a lot of... And then you see, over the period of time, the same pattern occurs. Like there are circumstances which also makes us, say the same sort of thing. So we do not want to come out of it. We become enslaved to those things. So because we have never experienced the freedom. Then... selfishness. Do you think selfishness can enslave us?
Yes.
How? How can selfishness enslave you?
Because they don't want to come out of their box.
There is always an I. Me, myself, my family, my work, my job, and many of the fights and quarrels also happen because of me, myself. Right? Selfishness. Many times we may say, I have to wake up early. Do you even know that? Right? Selfishness. Wives may say, I have to cook food. And I have to do this. I have to do that. I have to take care of the children. Do you even know that? So, because of selfishness, we become enslaved. Right? And in James 4, 1 to 2, it says, what causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire but do not have. So you kill. You covet but you cannot get what you want. So you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. So because of selfishness, many times we become enslaved to sin. Now, can you tell your neighbor, I want to experience freedom? Yes. But I thought you were already free. Okay. So, yes, many times, because all this we were saying, we suddenly want to experience freedom. I don't want to fight anymore. I don't want to get into this selfishness anymore. I don't want to become stingy anymore. I want to experience generosity, right? I want to experience freedom, right? So, yes. So, it is our decision whether we want to be slaves or free in Christ. Okay. So, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Again and again it says that. How do we let ourselves be a slave to sin? We let ourselves be a slave to sin is through these patterns that we see, right? So, the question that we can ask ourselves is that, am I operating in freedom? Okay, and how do we experience freedom in Christ? The freedom in Christ comes by truth. And we just did a series on truth, right? And the truth says that to the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples, then you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. So can you tell your neighbor, the truth will set me free? Whose truth? Whose truth will set you free? Whose truth? Jesus' truth. The scripture that speaks truth into our life. We will be able to experience the same freedom that Adam and Eve were able to experience it. In fact, the Bible says that when Jesus comes back, we will have the same kind of freedom or the same kind of citizenship of heaven like we had in the olden times, right? So we will experience the freedom when the truth will be revealed through the scriptures. Like if you believe, if you hold on to my teaching, you are really my disciples. So then you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. So I don't have to cheat anymore. I don't have to commit adultery or I don't have to do things which the world accepts but the Lord rejects. Right? Just to experience that freedom. The curiosity of knowing what will happen if I just taste this. Okay, so it will only the truth will set us free. The truth of the word of God says that love your neighbor as yourself. Love God. Okay, so when I love God, the truth is that I need to love God and so I need to follow this. Right? The truth of the word of God will ring in our minds if we continuously read the word of God and know that, Lord, I want to be free. So I want to know your truth. Then, acknowledging that I am no more a slave. Can you tell your neighbor that I'm no more a slave? And I don't want to behave like a slave. Yes. So I am no more a slave and I don't want to behave like a slave because I am no more under this yoke of slavery. Right? For this reason, Christ has set me free. I don't want to behave like how I am a slave. Okay? And I have been redeemed. I can go back to Jesus every time I do a mistake or I do something. I don't have to go back home saying, oh no, it is that same old home. But in fact, I can go with that rejuvenation and say that, yes, I am going to brighten my home. I am going to build the home with truth. I am going to build my home with freedom, right? So I need to acknowledge that I am no more a slave. Okay, there will be fights or there will be triggers around me, but how do I respond? What is my intention? Because I am no more a slave. I have been freed and redeemed through the blood of Jesus Christ. So it says that I'm using an example from everyday life because of your human limitation. Just as you used to offer yourselves as slaves to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer yourselves as slaves to righteousness leading to holiness. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. What benefit did you reap at that time from the things you are now ashamed of? Those things result in death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness. And the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. So acknowledging that I am no more a slave. And I am, just like I said, the boundaries will help us to live in freedom. The moment I cross those boundaries, I will be enslaved. Right? So acknowledging. So that's what it says. Slaves to righteousness. So righteousness means I'm compelled to do something that is right. And then I have to, then I can live freely. So it says, no, that if I tell one lie, I have to keep on telling more lies to just to hide. But if I tell the truth, I am free. Okay, I don't even have to. Maybe momentarily I'll have some pain, people will shout at me or something will happen. But eventually I am relieved of that. I can have a peaceful sleep. But if I continue to cheat, continue to lie, continue to do things which enslaves me, I will constantly think, what did I tell that person? What did I tell this person? What did I do? So freedom does not come to us if we continue to live in the pattern of, you know, the same sinning. Then, faith helps me to operate in freedom. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you. Can we tell this verse to our neighbor? When I am afraid, I put my trust in you. Yes. In God whose word I praise, in God I trust. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Can you tell your neighbor, what can man do to me? Yes. So you can, if you are a spouse, you can say, what can my husband do to me? What can my wife do to me? Right? Or what can my parents do to me? Or what can my children do to me? Right? Oh, so many times what happens, we fear, what can my boss do to me? Correct? If I don't do this, or if I do this, what will happen? I am enslaved to fear. I'm enslaved. And then what happens is, I do not put my trust in God. So I need to put my faith in God, saying, God, I know that this is the right thing. So it's not like I do not work and then I say, what can you do to me? I will not work. It's not like that. I do my best. Okay. And I know that Christ will do the rest. Right. And He will protect. He will guide. And what can man do to me if I walk in the righteous path? Right. So that is what we need to believe in. Freedom is to believe. Freedom is to be settled in knowing that God has rescued me and given me freedom to operate in righteousness. So Paul says, to die is Christ and to live is Christ. Okay, means even if I die, nothing will happen. Jesus is there. I am going to be with the Lord. But if I live also, I'm living with Christ. I'm doing what Christ wants me to do. Jesus has set me free. And John 8 says, if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. Right? So, how do I express that freedom? Why did Jesus set me free? Why did Jesus set me free? Can somebody tell me? Why did Jesus want us to be free? That is the main question. We know that, you know, what is freedom? What is slavery? But why did Jesus set us free? Yes, He has created us to be free, to enjoy the relationship with Him. So number one, why did Jesus set me free is because His love has set me free. In Corinthians 13:13 it says that, you know, love is the greatest of all. Okay, and Jesus set me free because of His love for us. Can you tell your neighbor, because of His love, I am free.
Because of His love, I am free.
Because of His love, we are free. Because He loved so much that He gave His only begotten Son, so that man shall not live in a sinful life, but he may live eternally. Eternal freedom, right? Then, why did He want me to be free? Is because it's a gift of God. Okay, it's a gift of God. Now, whenever we give a gift to somebody, for example, if it's somebody's anniversary or if it's somebody's, you know, a party, promotion or something, and or if it's a birthday, what happens? I give a gift. Okay, if I give a gift, what is it to me? I love that person. But will the gift come free to me? No, it will cost me money, right? It will cost me something. So I buy that and I give it to the other person as a free gift. Yeah. Similarly, freedom is a gift to me, but it did cost something to Jesus. Right? So it's a gift of God and I need to use it carefully. I need to use it wisely. And I cannot go back to my pattern of slavery and say, no, I am a slave to this. I've always been doing this. Always bad language comes out of my mouth. Always I have anger in my mind. No, that means I'm again going back to slavery. I need to come out of it. And I need to say that I have been given a gift of freedom. freedom to choose righteousness, freedom to choose what is right here, and I need not go back to my old patterns of slavery. Then Jesus wanted relationship with me. Okay, no matter how much ever I was entangled in sin, he said, okay, Lord, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And that released me. There was a curtain that was torn. The veil allowed me inside into the relationship with God, which, you know, which was cut off when Adam and Eve had sinned. So the freedom that I got was to enter into the Holy of Holies. The freedom of entering into the Lord's Holy of Holies. Okay? It says that, you know, when I have a relationship with God, I will not have any other relationship with anything else. It's called an illegitimate relationship. If I have a relationship with somebody and I again have another relationship with the second person, then it's called an illegitimate. For example, in marriage, you have only one spouse. But if I kind of go ahead and do something else, or if I have a mistress or anything else, then that is an illegitimate relationship. Therefore, he wanted a relationship with me and nothing else. Right? So if I have a relationship with the world, I cannot have a relationship with God. If I need to have a relationship with God, I need to cut off all the things that the world brings. The nice things according to the world it is. Right? So I need to have that relationship with God. So it's a gift of God. And I need to cherish the relationship that comes with this cost. Right? The cause for this freedom is great. You can see the cross, right? And freedom from compulsion to sin. Freedom to do the right thing. When there's injustice, we remember to respond in love through the Holy Spirit that Jesus has given us. The Spirit of God breathes freedom into our lives. Okay? And therefore, we have boundaries to step on, right? And to be inside. The cost of freedom is too great to not notice it. So in Luke 7, 36 to 50, there is a story of a woman who goes to Jesus and she just weeps and weeps and weeps at the feet of Jesus. And then the others all are like murmuring and saying, why is this woman like doing this? And she has put expensive perfume in the feet of Jesus. And they're all saying, "Arey, this perfume could have been sold in the market." And then Jesus says this one thing. The one who has been forgiven much, loves much. Okay? The one who has known slavery and then has come out of that slavery and has given the freedom will do more for the kingdom of God. So it's like you experience freedom more when you know what it was to be a slave. But let's not make it a pattern like of sinning. Oh, I can't get out of it. I should not be saying that. I should say that, yes, I am free now. I need to unlearn things of being a slave and relearn and learn new things of becoming a free person in Jesus Christ. Amen. So can we tell our neighbor, I am free?
I am free.
Yes. In Jesus Christ.
In Jesus Christ.
So let's just pray and we'll just ask God to help us to experience this freedom. Father God, we want to thank you, O Lord. And Lord, we know, Lord God, many times we have, Lord, understood the freedom, O Lord. But Lord, many times we are not able to put into it practically, Lord. Lord, many times there's a lot of compulsion to do things which do not Lord, go with your plans, Lord God. Lord, we pray, O Lord, that you help us to live a life of freedom. Help us to live a life, Lord, which cost you your life, Lord, which was a gift for us, O Lord God. And Lord, that you wanted us to have a relationship with you. Lord, help us to live a life of freedom, which will help us to live for you, O Lord God. Live according to your boundaries. Live and be slaves to righteousness rather than be slaves to a sinful life, O Lord. Lord, help us to experience that freedom. Freedom with a lot of boundaries, but at the same time, Lord, we rejoice that you have helped us to taste this freedom which was long time ago, O Lord God. And we are no more slaves to sin, but to you, O Lord God. And we want to live in that freedom, O God. We bless this time and we take this opportunity to be with you, O Lord God. And may you dwell with us, O Lord, for the rest of the week in our midst, O Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so the service is over. You can fellowship and take part in the brunch.